Good afternoon. It's Wednesday, August 27th. I'm your host, Stan Jastrzebski, and this is Ask the Mayor. We are pleased to be joined this week, as we are every fourth Wednesday of the month, by Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being here.
Stan, thank you very much for having me.
Before we get started, it is my duty to point out there are a couple of ways you can submit your questions to Mayor Goodnight during the next half hour. If you're near a telephone, prepare to jot down a couple of phone numbers. You can call us if you're local to our Bloomington studios at area code 812-855-0811. If you're further away and want to dial us toll-free or maybe just want to save a dime, call 877-285-9348. You can also email us for free now or anytime at mayor@indiana.edu. Well, Mr. Mayor, you get three guesses about the topic of my first question, and the first two don't count. Let's talk annexation.
Okay.
The Common Council has approved the city's annexation proposal. What was your reaction to the 7-2 vote from Monday night?
Well, I was very proud. The seven experienced and most knowledgeable council members voted with me. That's the four that were reelected from last year's campaign, both parties. The one that had previously served on the council, and then the other two members, one had served two terms on the school board, and one had served three terms on the Center Township Trustee Board. The two that voted against it are probably the greenest members of the council, not having a lot of legislative experience. And so I think the ones that I think they did the right thing, they did the courageous thing and looked at the city's long-term, looked at the future long-term and made the right decision. I was very proud of them, bipartisan. We had four Democrats, three Republicans vote for it, one Democrat, one Republican vote against it.
And still, that's kind of a swipe against the two people who voted against it, though, that you just made there.
Maybe. I think, yeah, I think the, I don't know that they looked at all the facts. I think they, well, part of the reason I say that, there were people that were a minority group that were opposed to it that wrote letters and showed up. And I think the, sometimes you have to make decisions you know, be able to, do what's right and not what's popular.
I'm curious how you know that it's a minority group of people. I mean, the remonstrators themselves, you know, constantly quoted statistics that said they had 65% to 75% of the people who were willing to sign it, and then were sort of, you know, priced out of the game when the changes were made. So they claim they're not, in fact, a minority.
Well, when you look at, we're elected to do what's best for the city. That's city council members. When you figure there are 47,000 people in the city, 11,500 to be annexed, I think it's clear if you look at just those people, that's 58,000 people. I think it's clear that the majority of the people, especially within the city, who they're elected to represent, are for it. I don't know that anybody spoke from within the city against it. I know that there were a couple city residents that got up and spoke in favor of it, I think it's pretty clear.
It should probably be said that there is still a court proceeding going on, which could forestall this at some point in the future, although a judge last Friday did decide not to stop Monday's meeting. Do you feel that the remonstrators still have any shot in court?
Well, we feel real good about the the things we did, the notification, the procedures, the statute. We feel strongly, but I do. You never know when you go to court or go to arbitration. You never know what could happen. So there's always a possibility of things not going as you would normally expect. So there's a possibility, but we feel like based on the statute and precedent setting cases that will prevail.
Would you say you did expect Friday's ruling?
Yes. We did. We felt good about it, but you never know. And so yeah, we felt you know, we felt good going into it. We felt like we had our facts straight, and so we felt very comfortable.
I suppose if I was really cynical, I would say that this move in the first year of your term is very similar to some things that Mitch Daniels did shortly after he took office. They were, you know, bold steps that appeared broadly unpopular, especially right after they were done. And in fact, it appeared for a time in 2005 to at least some of us in the media that Governor Daniels had signed his death warrant on his term in office. But now 3 years later, here he is on the verge of reelection and well ahead of Jill Long Thompson in many polls. And now, you've said on this program you're not concerned with saving your political career, but are you hoping that the dust will settle on this before you come up for reelection?
Well, you know, you made some really good points. Part of it, you know, politically or even just, you know, for any reason, I will say this, the governor has taken on some tough issues, some unpopular issues, and has been able to weather a lot of those. Whether I do or not, I don't know. I know this, that I feel like, you know, I said it before, people elected me to, as well as all officials, to make tough decisions. What happens will happen. I'm not really concerned at this point. We will prove some of the naysayers wrong. I mean, some people, you know, will forever stand by their position, and that's okay. We're not doing this I've been accused of both, that it's a cash grab, that we're going out and grabbing these areas. The two council members that voted against it said otherwise. They said that we couldn't afford to do this. I tell people it's hard to argue against both of those arguments. So the opposition, I even said this in one of the newspaper articles, that they need to get together and figure out what's their reasoning for opposing. Was it because it's a cash grab or because it's going to hurt the city financially? It can't be both. Your comments, I don't take them as being cynical. I think that's a good point. It's the easy thing to do would have been to pass this situation and some of these problems and not address them. But I just don't think that's what the public elected me to do. So.
Would you say that moves made by Governor Daniels, especially in the face of a changing political landscape in the State House, where he faces more and more Democratic opposition, it seems, every election cycle these days, have emboldened you or have taught you anything about how to go forward in this process?
Yeah, there's probably something to be learned from that. That you know, there are. Yeah, there probably are a few things that could be learned from that, and that would be that, you know, you do what you believe is right, and then you just hope that it resonates with voters and the general public, I think that's historically probably a good path to follow.
So now you've said that if we have 58,000 people in the newly formed Kokomo with the 12 square miles added to it, that you believe the remonstrators are part of a minority. Does that mean that you believe that you can, in fact, get rid of all of this talk and have a majority of people behind this and have it be part of your platform of accomplishments during your first 4 years?
Well, I don't know what will actually happen. I know this. I gave these arguments when I was young. I was 8 or 9 years old. They annexed the subdivision that I grew up in, and it was annexed into the city. And I can't really say that I followed it at 8 or 9 years old, but I do remember when we were not allowed to burn in the backyard or trash, and when the streetlights were put into the neighborhood out in Country Club Hills. And this would have been in the 1973, 1974 time frame. So I do remember some of those things taking place. And it's funny, I talked to some of my old neighbors that still live out there, grew up with, and they said, you know, they had some reservations and concerns when it took place, and they think, you know, long term it was the right thing to do. It happened, and there were really no huge negative consequences because they were annexed. So I think over time, whether it makes it into this election cycle or if we look 10 years down the road, I think it won't be the boogeyman that some people wanted to create.
Now, you said earlier that some people think that this is going to push the city into some financial ruin, but you've said here that you believe the city is not broke. And yet everywhere I look and the people I talk to, I see agencies looking for money. Now, I mean, clearly the annexation is going to increase the city's tax base and it's going to bring in more money. But I'm wondering, is it enough to cover property tax reductions or make up for an economy that's sagging nationwide?
That's a great question, because that's really been what we've tried to explain to people, that we within the many departments of the city, from the Parks Department and many others, we are not increasing any of our costs. And from the cost of the city cemetery, the Early Learning Center, the Senior Center, the Parks Department, the maintaining City Hall, so the administrative end of it, many of these different departments will not have, they're not going to have any increases in their expenses. So what you're looking at is police, fire, maybe one trash route, because based on we're doing a lot to streamline trash pickup right now, and you know, probably one other snowplow. But most of these people, not all, are already on city sewers, so we're very limited on the increases at the wastewater treatment plant. So I feel real good about this, that we'll be able to financially provide all the services in the time frame that we're supposed to, and overall I think it'll be good for the city.
What about the costs associated with the annexation itself? Obviously, that's going to cost the city some money. Have you done a preliminary estimate of that? And if so, you know, where's the money going to come from?
Well, right now, we have money budgeted from last year. That of course is the 2007, the passed in 2007 for the 2008 budget for legal fees. And there are some costs. Is that what you're talking about? The actual legal costs?
No. I mean, just the costs of implementing this annexation.
Yeah. Well, the implementation is going to come in street lights, and for the most part, that's one of the initial costs, which we have 3 years to put street lights in, and the police and fire. But a lot of these areas, we're already providing fire protection. We have an agreement with the trustee's office from the Center Township trustee to provide fire protection for many of the areas that we're annexing, so there are no additional costs there. There would be on the two South End fire stations some initial costs, but a lot of the police areas that we're annexing are surrounded by the city, so we're providing a lot of police patrol and a police presence in those areas as well, and not increasing some of the other departments that I mentioned. So our fiscal plan, we're very sure if they do get enough signatures for remonstrance, when we argue the fiscal plan, it will actually only be stronger than the one we presented, because we've cut down some of the costs on trash pickup, and because of the changes we've made in operations of city government, we've eliminated over 20, probably between 20 and 30 jobs permanently.
Now, it's my understanding that there are few, if any, annexation-related line items in the 2009 budget, and so I'm wondering if the cost of putting in streetlights, which I'm sure people are not going to want to wait 3 years for if they've been annexed, are going to come out of existing streets and sanitation funds, or if you're going to have to find that money elsewhere.
Well, we have actually 3 years. The statute says we have 1 year for non-capital expenditures and 3 years for capital expenditures, and streetlights are considered a capital expenditure of 3 years. We would, of course, if we in some of these areas, we will be providing services earlier than we need to be, and that's especially with some of the trash pickup and such when we're going through neighborhoods anyway, and we'll kind of slowly phase some of them in, and some of them will be phased in earlier. But our fiscal plan based on especially with some of the cuts we've made and things, it should be, we'll be able to do this, and I feel real good about our ability to do this.
A reminder, you can get in on our conversation with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight by calling 812-855-0811 or 877-285-9348. You can also email us at mayor@indiana.edu. I'm curious to know, Mr. Mayor, what you think the annexation is going to do about your current discussions with fire department union leaders who say they don't want to accept the idea of a year without a raise or accept possible staffing cuts. Is the annexation adding to the tax base going to salve any of those wounds?
I don't know that it really does, because we have to, you know, we're looking at changing the way that we operate every department within the city, and the fire department's a part of that. For example, we've got 14 people in the administrative office as well as two clerical workers, and we're looking at maybe changing responsibilities and such that may make it where we don't have to hire as many firefighters or some of those things. So we're looking at some things that I don't know that it will help the situation. We just have to change the way that we operate this, and we're not looking at drastic, radical changes. But when you look at things like our health care costs, we do have to make those adjustments regardless of annexation or not.
We've only talked cursorily about the budget so far. One of the big cost-saving measures in it is a reduction of benefits, especially insurance benefits, to about 500 people who work for the city of Kokomo. Do you believe you could have cut costs elsewhere and retained those benefits?
Probably not. It's really more than that. It's a little over 600 when you include the retired police officers and retired firefighters as well. So the number is a little over 600. But I think it's a part of it. What we're talking about doing is changing right now compared to most programs out there in the public and private sector. Our insurance plan has very low co-pays, deductibles, and out-of-pockets, and our research showed that only a little over 10% of the people on the city's insurance ever meet their caps. So that means that showed that a little over 88% never reach their caps or their deductible amounts, whether it be for prescriptions or for doctor's visits or major medical. So, you know, the point is that 88% of the people are paying for insurance that they're never using. They're paying for low deductibles, and when you equate it, if you were doing that with your automobile or your home, you wouldn't buy more insurance than you would ever need. And so if we make the changes that I believe we need to make, most people will be able to put more money back in their pocket. 88% automatically will, since they contribute 12%, they'll be able to put a few hundred dollars back into their pocket, and it won't affect them at all. There'll be another group that may have to incur more out-of-pocket expenses before they reach their caps. But when you figure the money that they'll put back in their pockets, the $300 or $400 possibly, even less will ever reach the caps. So we think a very large number will save a substantial amount of money. Some will probably break even, and some may actually have to pay a little more out of their pocket, but it'll be a very small minority.
Have you heard from anybody, especially those retirees that you mentioned, who have asked why they are the ones who are being made to sacrifice instead of other services being trimmed or budget line items elsewhere being looked at more closely?
Well, I've heard from different groups, and we're trying to do this as across the board. We're not trying to do all this with just city employees. We're trying to do this with taxpayers. We're asking them to move and pick up the trash across the street. I don't know if we've talked about that plan or not, where we are asking residents, we're working our way through the city to half the residents basically to put their trash across the street, so the trash truck will only make one pass on each street. It saves time, saves fuel, saves manpower, and saves the cost of purchasing another packer. And so we're kind of share this with residents, sharing some of it with employees, and then we're looking at streamlining services as well. So hopefully we get through this with the impact of House Bill 1001 by sharing it with all parties involved.
Councilman Mike Karakoff says the city might look into imposing new fees on citizens in order to make up some cash that had to be trimmed out of the budget or that was lost from property taxes. What do you think he means?
I haven't had that discussion with him. I read the same quote in the paper. I'm not sure which ones he would be considering. I mean, there are some that probably should be looked at. certain fines or things like that, or maybe permit fees, I think may come to, are a little easier than that are more tied to specific users. And I don't think he's looking at any certain blanket fees, at least if he is, he hasn't shared that with me. So I think, we'll look at certain things and make sure that they, the costs and the fees correspond with the amount of time and things like that. And, we'll look at those things. But right now, he's not given me a list of any, and we have not given any suggestions to the council at this time.
Do you have any ideas of what suggestions you might give to the council?
No, I've came out and said that I'm opposed to adding a trash pickup fee. I just don't think taxpayers need to do that. And the reasons we need to do our part first to make the city of Kokomo more efficient. And at this time, and I'm talking in not just the immediate, but the near future as well. I never say never, but we have no. No interest in putting in a trash fee or any other broad swiping, large fee across the board to anybody. So,
are there fees that you would think would come up on your radar more quickly? In other words, perhaps a vehicle sticker fee or levying harsher fines for improper parking or things like that?
Well, that's a good one. We did pass with our parking meters downtown a few months ago. We increased the fine. We did not increase the cost of parking downtown, but we did increase the fine for those that violated it, and it went from $3 to $15, which is what we found more in line with most second-class cities. So sometimes fines go over a little better than just increasing fees, because the only people that will actually pay more are people that violate the parking ordinance or what have you anyway. So, we'll look at those suggestions. I'm not close to any of them, but they haven't given me any at this time.
Have you seen any short-term gains in the amount of money you're making on those fines that might incline you to increase other fines elsewhere?
No, actually, what we've experienced is that more people are complying and not before the fines were only $3, and this was tracked by one of the local newspapers, and what they found out was that when we increased the fines, people tended to disregard a $3 fine and not pay it. Now that they've become $15 fines, people are more apt to comply with the parking requirements and actually put the coins in the slots. So it didn't really increase revenue, but it did change behavior somewhat.
Move to another topic. The Republican National Convention comes up next week in Minneapolis. Are you going, or is anyone from Kokomo heading up there?
Oh, no. Well, I'm on the Democrat side, so the ours is going on right now. So definitely not going to the Republican convention. But
no, I only ask because I've heard that a number of different people are sort of crossing party lines in this election. I probably should have made that clear.
Okay.
I've heard a number of different stories of people who are even going Republicans who have gone incognito to Denver. Clearly, you're not in Denver, so I'm wondering, are you going to Minneapolis and wearing your red clothing or
gotcha.
What have you?
Gotcha. Now I got it. Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that as well. So that's a good point. No, not planning on going, and I'll watch it from a safe distance here in Kokomo, but we'll try to follow. I will try to follow it as much as possible. I do enjoy listening to the speeches and following the events for both conventions.
What have you made so far of the festivities in Denver?
I've mainly watched the highlights and read more about it than I've been able to watch. I watched a little bit of Ted Kennedy's speech the other night. And saw a little bit of Tom Harkin's introductions out there. So those are probably the most time I've spent, just because I've had evening events here this week. But I thought Ted Kennedy looked a little better than I thought he would look, and I thought he sounded, all things considered, I thought he sounded pretty good. So.
Now, Barack Obama's campaign spokespeople here in Indiana say they intend to win the state for a Democrat for the first time since 1964. Do you believe that's a reasonable goal?
I believe it's possible. I think he has a hardworking, energetic group of volunteers. I know they have a field office in Kokomo, and it's not far from City Hall, and I drive past it more than a couple times a day. And even I went by at late hours, and you can see people, staffers in there working. So I know that they are out doing what they're supposed to do, and I have to believe they have a chance to win, or I don't think they would be putting the resources here. So I think the possibility exists, but there's still a lot of time between now and Election Day.
Obviously, there's been sort of a blue wave that's come over the state since April or May during the primary. And what has happened traditionally is that most of the largest cities in Indiana tend to go Democratic, but they are far outnumbered by the rural areas in the state. How do you see that the landscape in Kokomo and indeed in Howard County shaping up?
Well, 2 years ago, Kokomo went blue. We put a Democrat back in the state, Ron Harrell, back in the state house, who had been defeated in 2004. He returned to the seat in 2006, and we picked up a commissioner seat, and we're really close in a couple other other areas. So Kokomo, the city itself, went blue, and then last year we were very successful in the mayoral race. We won 37 of 38 precincts, and got a majority back in the council, and we're really close in a couple of other council seats. So I think all things considered, I guess the big issue would probably be the economy. And when you look at all the national economic indicators from unemployment and, of course, the housing market, the banking industry, trade deficit, the federal deficit, all those, the economic indicators nationwide, I would think that that's what's has to be driving this election cycle, and I think that's only good for Democrats.
Now, Mayor Kruzan here in Bloomington has talked a lot about Jill Long Thompson and others riding the coattails of Barack Obama. Listening to you there, I'm wondering, is the reverse possible? Is it possible for Barack Obama to ride the coattails of politicians like Ron Harrell and in places like Kokomo that seem to have changing political landscapes and gain some more votes that he might not ordinarily have in a state as red as Indiana?
In a perfect situation, you would hope that it happens both ways, that they all work, sending out a concentrated message, and that the, some local popular candidates will be able to help out the presidential ticket and the governor's race as well, and vice versa. But if I think in this area, I think the Obama group is working hard enough that it will probably be more like Mayor Kruzan said. I think the interest, the people will get out to the polls for the presidential election, and the coattails will come from the presidential race.
Well, we have once again used up half an hour with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight. A reminder, you can hear our interview with him every fourth Wednesday of the month. We will be happy to entertain your questions via email. Send them for next time to mayor@indiana.edu, and I will be more than happy to get them on the air. My thanks, as always, to Mayor Greg Goodnight, to engineer Michael Pashkash, and to producer Daniel Robison up there in the booth. My name is Stan Jastrzebski. Join us every week at 12:06 on Wednesday for Ask the Mayor. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.